My name is Ben Bailey. We're so glad that you've joined us for our broadcast today.
World religions cannot save us from our sin problem. The philosophies of men cannot save us from the sin problem. Medical science and technological advancements cannot save us from the plague of sin. Jesus Christ is the only way to be saved from the sin problem. Welcome to our study of Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. The text for our study comes from John chapter 14 and verse 6. Jesus says in John chapter 14 and verse 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." It's rightly been said that Jesus is the way. Without Him, there's no going. Jesus is the truth. Without Him, there's no knowing. And Jesus is the life. Without Him, there's no living. He is the only way that we can access salvation and have the best life in the here and now. As we think about Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life, we look at Jesus as the way, and we understand that He is the only way for us to be saved. Jesus is the only avenue for salvation. World religions can't save us. They may offer some reincarnation, as the Buddhist religion does. They may offer some different ways of life and how to get back into the wheel of life, but that's not what man needs. Man needs salvation from the sin problem. And Jesus is the only way that we can be saved today. I'm reminded of the words of Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. The Bible says this in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12 about Jesus as the only way of salvation. "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." There isn't salvation in other people. The only name representing the person and the life that he lived that we can be saved is by Jesus Christ. You see, the Jews thought they could be saved by following Moses. Some today think maybe they can be saved by following Muhammad or following some latter-day prophet, they say. Friends, Jesus is still the only way to salvation. He's the only one who lived a perfect life. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 through 15 teaches us that Jesus was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. 1 Peter 2, verses 21 and 22 says, "He committed no sin, nor was guile or deceit found in His mouth." He's the perfect one who sacrificed Himself, the perfect sacrifice for our sins. And He's the only way that we're ever going to be saved. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21 teaches us that at the birth of Jesus, His parents were told that He would be called Jesus, which is translated from Emmanuel, or Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. The idea that God would be with us and that He would save His people from their sins. That's Jesus. The idea of His name meaning Savior of the world. Jesus said in Matthew 26 and verse 28, "This is My blood, which is shed for many for the forgiveness of sins." And so as we think about Jesus as the way to salvation, let's be reminded of His mission. Luke chapter 19, verse 10, the Bible says that Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. All men are lost. And therefore, Jesus came to seek and save all those who are lost, God's people who had gone astray. I'm reminded of the words of 1 John chapter 2. Verses 1 and 2. Jesus, the Bible says, is the propitiation for our sins, but not for our sins alone, but for the sins of the whole world. Jesus came and gave His life as an atoning sacrifice. Hebrews 2 and verse 9. He tasted death for every man so that we could have the hope of eternal life. You see, the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, God wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. God desires that greatly. But the only way that's going to be possible is if we're willing to obey Jesus, the only way for salvation. As we think about Jesus the way, we can also see that Jesus is the way to a life that has real meaning and real purpose. So many people meander through life without any real meaning, without any real purpose, living for the moment, living for the pleasure. What kind of life is that? Look at people who have had most everything you could imagine in life, and some of those people are the saddest people in all the world. They have no real meaning or value. When this life is over, that's it for them. But for the Christian, Jesus gives greater meaning to life. Let's think about the questions Jesus asked that relate to this very importantly in Mark chapter 8, verse 36 and 37. Notice these words. Jesus says, "For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" Jesus, in these rhetorical questions, teaches us that there is nothing more important than your soul. And the real value of man is found in the spiritual side. You see, the purpose to life is for me to prepare in this life to live with God for eternity. This is my one chance to get right with God. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13 and 14 teaches us the meaning of life. Solomon sought for meaning and purpose in life in many areas, and he found all of those to be vanity, worthless, purposeless. But then he did find real meaning, and he said in Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13, "Let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil." We learn that our purpose is to reverence God, to respect Him, and to obey His commandments. Isaiah said in Isaiah 43, verse 7, that everyone who is called by God's name, whom He created for their glory, God made them, yes, He formed them. We were created in the image of God to reverence, to respect, and to give Him the glory in this life. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31, that whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Even the small things in life, like eating and drinking, everything we do should praise and laud the name of Almighty God. Philippians 1, 21, Paul could say, "For to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain." Why could Paul say that? Because he found Jesus as the way to a life with real meaning. Matthew 6, verse 33 says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and all His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto us." That's what real meaning is about. Putting God first in life, making sure that He is the priority in everything that we do. But not only is Jesus the way to a life with real meaning, Jesus is the only way to find forgiveness and peace. The peace that we have through Jesus is one of the greatest privileges for the child of God. And friends, Jesus is the only way that you'll ever live a life that has peace of mind, a life with tranquility, a life of satisfaction. Listen to Paul's words in Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 6. Paul says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Notice that. We hand it over to God. We ask in prayer. We're not anxious about it. And in doing so, we have the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. What a wonderful blessing it is to be a child of God. Jesus, He's the only way for us to obtain peace. You want to go home at night, lay down on your bed, and know that everything's going to be okay, regardless of what happens during the night. To do so, you have to have Jesus as the way to true peace. Jesus is the way to forgiveness. As we look throughout Scripture, we find that forgiveness is offered through Jesus Christ. Yes, God wants to forgive our sins. The psalmist said in Psalm 103, verse 10, that the Lord has not dealt with us according to our iniquities, nor punished us according to our sins. We haven't really got what we deserved. And the reason is because of Jesus. Jesus is the way to forgiveness. Micah said that all our sins, as it were cast into the depths of the sea. Micah 7, verses 18 and 19. Our sins have been so far removed from us that they cannot hurt us. In fact, Hebrews 8, verses 12 and 13, God says, "I'll remember their sins and their iniquities no more." That's the blessing that is only available through Jesus. As we think about Jesus as the way to forgiveness, we need to remember the great sacrifice He made. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says that Jesus, God, made Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. The only way to forgiveness is through Jesus. Friends, men today cannot forgive us of sin. No one can bless you in such a way or say certain words and your sins be forgiven. Jesus is the only way to forgiveness from sin. And what a wonderful blessing it is to know that Jesus can offer this to us. Jesus is also the only way to defeat Satan. Do you want to defeat Satan in your life? Think about the horrible effects that Satan and sin has had on man. In Genesis chapter 3, that old serpent, Satan, he tempted Adam and Eve. They ate of the fruit that God had told them not to, the forbidden fruit. And as a result, they were cast out of the garden. They suffered death, both physically, eventually, and spiritually, because of Satan. Think about what Satan did to Job. Satan caused Job to lose all of his wealth. His children died at the hands of Satan. Job was given a dreaded disease because Satan was trying to tempt him to be lost. Think about this evil adversary. And Peter describes him in 1 Peter 5 verse 8 as a roaring lion seeking those whom he may devour. How can we defeat Satan today? We can't defeat him in and of ourselves. We are left helpless without Jesus Christ, the only way to defeat Satan. And here's the wonderful news. Jesus has already defeated Satan. Listen to the words of Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14. The Bible says, "Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, He Himself likewise shared in the same, that through death He might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil." When Jesus died on the cross, He dealt a death blow to Satan. My friend, if we're going to be saved today from Satan, if we're going to defeat him, we must be a part of Jesus' body. We must be a child of God, for that is the only way we'll ever have the victory in this life. But not only is Jesus the way, Jesus is seen in the Scriptures as the truth. Jesus is the source of truth. He is the truth for men and women today. In fact, Jesus is seen as the embodiment of all religious truth. Jesus holds the truth within Himself. He is the one who came to this earth to speak the truth to men, and it's that embodiment of truth, Jesus Christ, that saves men from sin. Think about the words of Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 21. The Apostle Paul said, "If indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him, listen, as the truth is in Jesus." Truth doesn't reside with men today. It's not in someone who claims to be a Latter-day prophet with a message from God. It's not some man on this earth who holds a message from God. The truth is found in Jesus and His words. In John chapter 1, verse 1, we're told that in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And that Word became flesh and dwelt among men. John chapter 1 and verse 14 teaches us. What is that Word? Jesus is the Word, the embodiment of truth among men and women today. John chapter 8 and verse 32 tells us just how essential this truth is. Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." The proverb writer said in the long ago, "Buy the truth and sell it not." We need to take hold of Jesus as the embodiment of truth and bring His life and His teaching into ours. You see, the only way I can access Jesus as the truth is to bring His life into mine, to make myself in the image of Jesus. That's what the Scriptures teach us to do. 1 Peter 2 and verse 21 teaches us that we're to walk in the steps of Jesus. We're to follow His footsteps. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, "Imitate me, as I also imitate Christ." I'm reminded of the words of Jesus in Matthew 5 and verse 16. Jesus said, "Let your light so shine that men may see your good works and follow your footsteps," or follow the way to heaven itself. You see, we follow Jesus in His footsteps, and in doing so, we can not only be an embodiment, we can not only have the truth in our life, we can teach others about the truth. I'm reminded of a powerful example in Acts chapter 4 and verse 13. Here are Peter and John. They're being questioned why or how they spoke and being questioned about their authority. And the light then comes on to these people. They realize, the Bible says, then that they had been with Jesus. They had aptly put Jesus in their life as the truth, and it made an impression on the religious leaders of their day. We need to know that as the truth, Jesus not only is the truth, but God's Word is also truth today. The Word of God is our source for truth. Where do we go when we want to find truth about Jesus, about matters of salvation, about religion today? We look no further than the pages of God's holy Word. In John chapter 17 and verse 17, we are clearly taught, "Sanctify them by your truth." Jesus said, "Your word is truth." What's the source of truth for us today? The Bible. The Bible is the only truth from God. It's the only truth that can save our soul. It is the only way to salvation. James told us to receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save our souls. You see, what's great about the Bible is that this book is not a compilation of the writings of men. It's not men's thoughts or men's ideas. This book is the inspired words of Almighty God. Psalm 119, 160 says that the entirety of God's Word is truth. As we think about Scripture, we need to be reminded of 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. This book is the way of salvation. It's the hope that we have. It's the truth on how to live the best life in the here and now. As we think about Jesus and the truth, we need to know that Jesus is the truth on matters of salvation. Friends, there's only one person who can save me from sin. There's only one truth on salvation, and that is Jesus Christ as the way to the Father. Remember, Jesus is the truth. Without Him, there's no knowing. We can't know salvation apart from Jesus and His great sacrifice. The Hebrew writer thought about this in Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25. He said these words, "Therefore He, Jesus, is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through Him, since He always lives to make intercession for them." He is the only one who can give us the salvation that is available. Why? Because He ever lives to make intercession. You see, we think of Jesus' role presented in the Bible. Jesus is seen as prophet. He is the one who gave us the words of God. Hebrews chapter 1 teaches that God at various times in various ways spoke in the past by the fathers to the prophets to the fathers, but He has in these last days spoken to us. How? By His Son. Jesus is the one who gave us the Word of God, but Jesus is also seen as priest, a priest who made Himself the sacrifice for our sins. Hebrews 10 verses 3 and 4 teaches us that the blood of bulls and goats, it could never really take away sin. But Jesus, this man, after He'd offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down at the right hand of God. Hebrews 10 verse 12. The Bible says in Hebrews 9 and verse 22 that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. Yet Jesus shed His precious, innocent blood so that we could be forgiven of our sins. He's prophet, He's priest, and He's King today. Jesus is King in the kingdom. Revelation 19, verses 16 and 17 speaks of Him as King of kings and Lord of lords. And therefore, Jesus is the truth on salvation. But not only is Jesus the way, not only is He the truth, Jesus is presented in the Bible as the life. Jesus is the only way that we can really live the best life now and live with God for eternity. And Jesus, as the life, gives us the abundant life. John chapter 10, verse 10, the Scripture says, Jesus speaking, "I came that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly." You know, as we look through the Bible, the Old Testament pointed to Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life. The Old Testament scriptures tell us that Jesus, He's the way of salvation. We go all the way back to Genesis chapter 3. In the Garden of Eden, it was prophesied and promised that the seed of woman would deal a death blow to Satan himself. Jesus is the one who did that. For in Romans chapter 16, verse 20, Satan is being defeated by that death blow, Paul says, at that time. Jesus defeated Satan as was prophesied. In Genesis chapter 22, verses 17 and 18, it is promised that there is one who is going to be the seed of Abraham and Isaac, who is going to bless all nations. That's Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, we receive all spiritual blessings through Christ Jesus. It is promised in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, that one is going to sit upon the throne of David, and of his kingdom there's going to be no end. Luke chapter 1, verses 32 and 33 is the fulfillment of that. You shall call his name Jesus. He'll be Son of the Most High. And of his kingdom there will be no end. Friends, the Old Testament pointed us right toward Jesus, and the New Testament declares to us that Jesus is that way. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the only way that I'm going to be saved today. Friend, we need to think very seriously about Jesus as the way of salvation. You know, when we think about Jesus, we've got to ask ourselves, and when we think about salvation, we've got to ask the question, what must we do to have eternal life? If Jesus is the way, and without Him there's no going. If He's the life, without Him there's no living. If He's the truth, without Him there's no knowing. We have to ask very seriously, what must one do to inherit eternal life? We need to know that we cannot earn our salvation. Friends, regardless of what we do in this life, salvation is the free gift of all of our God. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 says, by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Please understand that we're not saying that we can earn salvation. That's not possible. Salvation is the free gift of God. Yet at the same time, there are conditions that we must meet. You see, God has said in His Word that we must be willing to obey the conditions He sets forth. Throughout the Bible, we're taught this principle. Jesus asked the question in Luke 6:46, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? He's saying, don't call me Lord if you're not willing to obey my teaching. Jesus, or God, said to Saul, King Saul, in 1 Samuel 15, verse 21 and 22, it is better to obey than to sacrifice. Not that it's not good to sacrifice, but you need to have obedience combined with sacrifice. And so today, we understand that obedience is necessary in the plan of salvation. What must I obey? What must I do to be saved? Friends, the wonderful thing for us today is that we can read and understand the Bible, and we can know beyond a shadow of a doubt exactly what we must do to be saved. In Acts chapter 18, verse 8, we're given the plan of salvation in kind of a nutshell. Many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed, and were baptized. We've got to hear the message of salvation. Remember, it's the Word of God that saves us. We can know the truth, and the truth will make us free. John chapter 8 and verse 32. We've got to study the Scriptures to see what we must do to be saved. I can't let someone else tell me what they think I need to do to be saved. Salvation is an individual matter. It's something that I must search out for myself. The religious leaders can't save me. Parents can't tell me what to do to be saved. But I can come to the Bible, and I can study and see what I need to do. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved unto God. I love the example in Acts 17, verse 11. These were more noble people because they received the Word with all readiness. They were glad to have someone preach to them, but then what did they do? They searched the Scriptures daily to see if what they were being taught was true to the Word of God. And so I've got to study and I've got to see for myself what the Bible says. Then once I have heard the Word of God, I must believe that message. In Acts chapter 8, the Ethiopian nobleman was told, if you believe with all your heart, he was told that he may be baptized and become a child of God. And so belief is essential. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. Once I believe in the message of salvation, believe in Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life, then I must be willing to make changes in my life. A perfect example of repentance is seen in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. Of these Thessalonians, it is said, they turn from idols to God to serve the true and living God. They were living a life of sin in idolatry. They not only stopped that, they turned from that sin, but they turned to God so that they could be saved. We must also repent today in the same way. We have to turn from a life of sin and turn to God so that we can be saved. Then a person must also confess Jesus as the Son of God. As we think about confession, we might be reminded again of Acts chapter 8, verses 36 through 39. If you believe with all your heart, the Ethiopian nobleman is told, you may. I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. This is also seen in Romans 10 and verse 10, and in Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 and 33. Confessing Jesus is essential, but then there's another step in the plan of salvation that many leave out. We must be baptized for the forgiveness of our sins. Peter said it this way, baptism does now also save us. Jesus said in Mark 16:16, he that believes and is baptized will be saved. Peter preached to the Pentecostal, the Christians on Pentecost, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of your sins. Friends, we're praying for you today and we're pleading with you to accept Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life on matters of salvation. Won't you do so today? May God help you as you strive to live the right life.